Tuesday night edition of the Anaheim Calling Podcast. We are here to discuss the draft lottery results. Jake can finally go to bed at night peacefully, knowing exactly what the draft order will be. No, the Ducks did not get into the lottery. Instead, they finish with the ninth overall pick, which is still a pretty good spot to be in. As you can hear, he's audibly sighing into the mic. Now, just to recap the teams that did get into the lottery. So the New Jersey Devils will be selecting first overall. The New York Rangers will be going second overall. And the Chicago Blackhawks will be going third. So, I mean, as far as TV ratings go, I would say that these lottery results are pretty friendly. The top two picks go to the greater New York metro area. And then you have Chicago with the number three pick. So I don't know what we'll get into the Ducks quickly here, but just some of your overall impressions of the draft lottery.
When I saw Chicago win, I was just like, why?
I mean, why? They were pretty bad. They were right down there with the Ducks.
They finished 12th.
Yeah. That's not good.
Sorry. What would this have been? They finished, 84 points. So they were only 6 points out of the playoffs. They had four more points than the Ducks.
Well, they were six points out of the playoffs in the West. Let's be very clear about what that means.
Fair point, says Mr.
Yes. I mean, they would have been, 12 points out.
Yeah.
And actually, 14 points out in the East. So, anyway.
Yeah. So
neither here nor there.
Regardless, I think the funniest thing to come out of this is the fact that Taylor Hall has now been on a team that has won the draft lottery five times.
Yeah.
Five times.
Mm-hmm.
And so you think about it. He was on the Oilers, and that's excluding the time that the Oilers won the draft to draft him. But he was on the Oilers when they got Nugent Hopkins, Yakupov, McDavid. Then he's been on. He was on the Devils when they won the Heischer draft, and now he's on the Devils again. And there he won the Jack Hughes Derby.
I mean, I think Chicago getting that pick is frustrating because they're Chicago, but I think the teams that are probably the most frustrated are teams like Detroit, L.A., Buffalo, because, I mean, they were epically bad, and, you know, although you know, LA got the fifth pick, Detroit got the sixth pick, and Buffalo got seventh. I mean, for Chicago to jump into the lottery, because Chicago is basically part of that group, right? Chicago, Minnesota, Philly, Vancouver, Anaheim, Edmonton, that were all kind of equally bad. You know, I mean, there was
Chicago was in the playoff mix for a while. They were up there with like Colorado. They were on par with Colorado.
Right, so was Minnesota. I mean, but the thing is, between all of those teams that I just mentioned, there was a four-point gap. And if you throw in Edmonton and the Rangers, that's a 6-point gap. So, I mean, they're all just kind of this morass of just mediocre teams. So, all this to say that I think the most disappointed fan bases today, if you're just looking at it systematically, is going to be the teams that finished way at the bottom. But I think for the Ducks, and now I guess we can kind of transition over.
Well, quickly, I did want to make mention. I have a buddy of mine who's a Red Wings fan.
How's he feeling?
Super pissed off. He's like, we couldn't win enough or lose enough to get into the lottery because they were sandwiched by the Rangers and Devils. So had they moved up or down, they would have been into the lottery.
I mean, how do you think I feel, man? Canadians didn't get into the lottery. 1%. 1% odds.
How nervous were you when they pulled out the number 15 card?
I wasn't watching on TV, but I really was rooting for it. But I mean, unreal though, that the Canadians finished 14th in the league. They finished ahead of Dallas, Vegas, and Colorado in the league standings and didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be bitter about that for a while. But let's talk about the Ducks' perspective here because that's what the people want.
I do want to make mention. So this is the first draft lottery, I think, in a long, long time that I've watched with any rooting interest.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap, is it stressful.
Make it stressful.
Well, and it's the fact of pulling over the numbers. And once I saw that it was Minnesota at 12, I was like, crap. So, and everyone knows what that means, that Chicago jumped up. And it's like, well, crap. Okay. All right. So 12 is Minnesota. All right, 11. Please be Philadelphia. All right, it's Philadelphia. 10. Okay, good. It's Vancouver. 9. Please don't be the Ducks. Please don't be the Ducks. Please be Edmonton. It's the Ducks.
Well, see, that's why I you know, watching on TV is kind of worthless because the insiders are just tweeting everything out before it happens on TV.
Yeah.
I was just refreshing my phone like as I was doing grocery shopping, and I looked like an idiot standing by the asparagus just staring at my phone.
Oh, I was in the gym as this was going on. Me and a buddy were watching the draft lottery happen in the gym, and we were like just standing there staring like by a bench press.
Yeah, I'm sure you were two of many people watching the draft lottery at the gym.
All the people in the gym were watching the draft lottery on the screens.
I mean, it is stressful because you know, you're so, you know, for a lot of these teams, it can be such a boost. But anyway, so for the Ducks, though, I think that what's frustrating about this is that they get the 9th pick, which, again, is not at all a bad spot to be in. But, I mean, they were just so epically bad for so many, you know, for the stretches where they lost, you know, over 10 games in a row. I think that it just feels odd that they would not, you know, that they would not have a higher pick. But again, this is what happens when you fire Randy Carlyle and get better. Don't finish as low. And again, I think that we had a lot of debates about this in season about how, you know, is it worth maybe hurting your draft odds to just have like more palatable end to the season. And I think that the trade-off, I think the Ducks know now more what they have in these young guys, and maybe that the pressing need for any type of find through the draft feels a little less urgent. You know, I think that they can feel a little more confident. I think you'd rather have Jack Hughes than maybe any of the Ducks youngsters. Well, I mean, and that's no slight to them, but that's the way these things work.
So my only frustration with this, and this is probably really my only frustration, is I went into those final two games of the season really, I mean, let's be real. It was better for the Ducks to lose those final two games against the Flames and against the Kings. Mm-hmm. And especially with the Flames sitting all of their players. If they would have just played their guys, they probably would have won that game. If the Ducks lose those two games, because the way the draft lottery works, for those of you that don't know, essentially each team's assigned a certain amount of random number combinations of four different numbers. And the way it works is they assign them to number the worst team. They get their percentage of it. Then it goes so on and so forth. So if the Ducks would have lost those two games, they would have been in the sixth spot in the Ranger spot and gotten those randomly generated combinations.
Right. So let's not pretend that that's not how this works, though. I mean, yes, they would have been in the Ranger spot, but who's to say that the Ranger spot would have been the one, you know, if you were to do this over?
No, but my point
I mean,
is
I get why it's frustrating for you.
In hindsight, you can look at it and
hindsight.
Well, that sixth pick won.
Yes, but
like those two.
If you were to do
different.
It over again, I mean, maybe the sixth pick wouldn't have won.
I agree.
Jake, I understand you're bitter. I understand
100%
you're bitter.
100%.
But now you're taking too many logical leaps here. I'm not gonna allow you to be.
You're
this
not
bitter.
Gonna stand for it. You're putting.
I mean,
your foot
no,
down.
But I get it. I mean, you know, as a fan. Having to endure a season like this, you want the maximum reward.
Yeah.
You want it to be the most okay. And I mean, again, that kind of speaks to this league is that, you know, we talk a lot about parity and about how anyone can win it, but there's a lot of bad teams. There are a lot of teams that are just kind of going nowhere. Well, I mean, I look at Minnesota, I look at Philly, I look at Edmonton. I mean, you know, even Buffalo, you know, Arizona's, they're the darlings of the NHL. A lot of people that watch the NHL, but they haven't made it. And so there's just a lot of rudderless ships. Detroit, there's a lot of teams that are actively not trying to win. You know, I mean, we talk about tanking. Teams like Detroit, teams like but the Rangers, Vancouver, they were down at the bottom of the standings on purpose. You know, I mean, they were not trying to be good this season.
I think the Kings, I mean, for all Ducks fans, if you want to have the biggest positive from tonight, it's the fact that the Kings dropped to fifth. That's probably the biggest positive.
Kings fans should be the most upset because they, you know, they endured this hellacious season. I mean, I can't even imagine being a Kings fan because of how frustrating that team was all year, that coaching staff. And so to not have a top three pick to show for it, that's brutal. But anyway, let's get into the Ducks' perspective as we've been trying to do here the last couple of minutes. So they finished ninth. And if you look at it, you know, some of the players that are going to be, you know, available at that slot,
are Jack Hughes and Capo Caco could slip. I mean, New Jersey and New York might pass on them, right? Right.
Well, there is a question of will New Jersey take Caco number one?
Yeah.
I wouldn't think too hard about that one if I were
take
them.
Take Jack Hughes.
Yeah, take Jack Hughes. But so for Anaheim, you know, if you look at the breakdown of this from The Athletic, they have in their mock draft, they have Peyton Krebs going number nine to Anaheim, and he's a center, you know, not a big center, plays out of the WHL, and, you know, it looks like, based on the description from Corey Promen, who's kind of the resident draft expert at The Athletic, he does good work in terms of tracking so many different players, and it seems like he's kind of almost in the Sam Steele vein, you know, obviously with much higher upside, where he can kind of do everything. You know, he's got good hockey sense, plays with pace. And so, I mean, it seems like a good add. You know, there's other guys in that range that all seem like they're plug and play, that, you know, a lot of centers in that range. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I think the Ducks are going to get a good player here.
I think the names to really kind of keep an eye on, I think Peyton Krebs, he's an interesting name, having kind of looked at it and done a little bit of research this afternoon, but he's on a really bad Kootenay Ice team and kind of is elevating the players around him. And so it could be a situation where maybe he becomes the steal of the draft because his team's just bad. So maybe if he's put in a better situation, his skill level shines more. And when he's with better players around him, I mean, yes, you want your superstar to rise up to the cream of the crop, but I mean, maybe he's not a superstar, but putting him with better players will make him better. And so maybe that makes him a steal of the draft. But I mean, you have Trevor Zegras from the U.S. National Development Program. I mean, certain people, I mean, let me see it. Sam Constantino of Sportsnet has Kirby Dach being at his eighth pick, Zegras being his seventh pick. He has Matthew Boldy at nine and Peyton Krebs at 10. So 11 is Kaliev. Right winger. So I really think the Ducks are probably going to try to focus on getting a center and whoever's available, whether that, I think the four names to kind of keep an eye on, granted three of them are listed higher than the Ducks pick on Sam Constantino's list, but would be Alex Turcotte, Trevor Zegras, Kirby Dach, and Peyton Krebs. I think those are possibly the names to keep an eye on.
Yeah. And if you look at the last three drafts, the ninth overall pick last year, Vitali Kravtsov, for the Rangers, another guy who kind of in this vein of Krebs, I think at the time of the draft, it felt like he didn't slip necessarily in the draft, but that he was kind of one of those high upside guys. And then if you look at the 2017 draft, ninth overall, Michael Rasmussen for the Red Wings, who I think actually was up with the Red Wings this season for periods of time. And then going back to 2016, ninth overall, Mikhail Sergachev. So it certainly seems, and then, I mean, I'm going to pull up a few more drafts here, but it certainly seems like you can get a decent player at that range.
One off the board name a little bit here, but it's because he's having such a strong playoffs, is Raphael Lavoie for the Halifax Mooseheads. I know I've seen that name and he's just having an absolutely insane playoffs. I don't know if you want to draft a guy though, because of a playoff run.
Yeah, I mean, that seems, you know, at nine, you know, anywhere really in the top 10, you kind of want to take guys on pedigree a little bit, because usually that's, you know, that's going to win out. It seems like teams that really gamble in the top 10, I don't know how you necessarily fare. And then in 2015, I'm just going to go over some of the recent ninth picks. 2015, Timo Meier. That one took a little time to come to fruition, but he's
turned out to be a really good player.
He's now a stud for the San Jose Sharks. Ninth overall in 2014, Nikolai Ehlers, another pretty good player. 2013, Bo Horvat. 2012, Jacob Trouba. 2011, I'm just going down the list here, Dougie Hamilton at ninth overall, and I'll finish here at 2010. Ninth overall in the 2010 draft, Mikael Granlund. So, you know, there's kind of some misses in there. Not misses, but there's guys who you're obviously a little less excited about. But there's clearly some pretty good players in there. And some of them took a little time. And just for the heck of it, this one's probably going to make people shudder. Granted, it's the Senators, but ninth overall in 2009, Jared Cowan. That one didn't necessarily work out.
Ninth overall would have been, you said Nikolai Ehlers, right, for the Jets?
Yeah, that would have been.
That's one that comes to mind right away, because that was right before Nick Ritchie was taken. One thing I did want to talk about really quickly, because Bonnie asked it in our Twitch chat, basically asking, does Jack Hughes, and I think this kind of applies to all players, do they have to accept basically who they are drafted from? So basically the way it works is, once they're drafted, the team has 4 years to work out an entry-level deal with them. If the team and the player cannot come to an agreement after those 4 years, then he becomes a free agent to sign an ELC wherever he deems, wherever he would like to go. The thing is, with these high first-round picks, these guys are going to go to the NHL right away. So he basically has to be on the Devils if he wants to be playing in the NHL next year, if the Devils do draft him.
Yeah, and then by the way, just to kind of lift everyone's spirits, 2007 draft, Logan Couture, ninth overall. So that's,
wait, he was 2007 draft?
Yeah.
Why did I think he was I thought he was the Fowler draft of 2010.
No.
I think he broke it. Oh, he broke in the same year Fowler did.
Yeah, he had another year in junior. And then 2006, James Shepard, although that's kind of injury related. And then ninth overall in 2005, Brian Lee. 2004, I'm just having fun with this. 2004, Ladislav Smead, who was okay at points in time. But so it's kind of a mix.
That would have been a Ducks pick also.
Ladislav Smead, ninth overall. Yep, Mighty Ducks of Anaheim.
Yep.
Boom. Jake knows his Ducks draft history.
Ladislav Smead traded for Chris Pronger.
2003 is Dion Phaneuf at ninth overall. And I mean, I don't know. It's kind of a mixed bag. You know, you can kind of see the range of outcomes. There's not a whole lot of just total misses in there, but there's a couple. So Bonnie, just to answer that question, cause it's kind of a fun one, I recommend you just go on YouTube and type in Eric Lindros, Quebec Nordiques. That's a fun
forcing
one.
Forcing a trade.
That's an infamous one where Eric Lindros basically refused to go to Quebec Nordiques for a number of reasons, but that's not the norm.
Well, and then there's the whole debate about which trade was the right trade, because both the Flyers and the Rangers had deals supposedly done and had to go to arbitration.
Yeah, no, there's a good documentary about it that you can find on YouTube. Maybe we'll put that somewhere.
And then, so we have a question in the Twitch chat from Boom Snap Bam, and I think this goes hand in hand with our next pick. But he's basically asking if we know who the Ducks may be interested in with their later picks from the Blues or Sharks. And so kind of the answer to that is no. And the reason for that is we don't really know where that pick is going to end up. And that's kind of the issue with it. The issue with that pick is, so right now the Ducks have the choice of St. Louis or San Jose. The contingency on that pick is St. Louis's draft pick has to be in the 20s or 30s. Also, mind you, but it has to be in the 20s for the Ducks to be able to pick it. So it has to be at least the 20th overall pick. As of right now, St. Louis is 20th. The issue is that if any of the teams below St. Louis, so below in the standings, so Columbus, Dallas, Vegas, or Colorado, if any of those teams, because the way that the draft works is, all of the teams that don't make the conference finals get picked 16 through 27 based upon the standings. And then the conference final losers get picked 28 and 29. And the Stanley Cup final teams, with the loser of the Stanley Cup final getting 30th and the winner of the cup getting 31. So if any of the teams below St. Louis and Columbus, Dallas, Vegas, or Colorado make it to the conference final, they would jump up to the 28th or 29th or 30th or 31st pick, moving that St. Louis pick into the teens, making it so the Ducks cannot take it. So essentially, for instance, if Vegas makes the conference final, St. Louis just loses before the conference final, St. Louis's pick is now 19th. The Ducks do not have the option of taking that anymore.
So if it goes earlier than the 20s, they don't have it?
No.
Okay.
So basically, the Ducks want St. Louis to lose two rounds.
Are you sure that you're still picking St. Louis for your Western Conference final?
I still think St. Louis makes the Western Conference final. That's just my judgment of the situation. I don't want them to.
Okay.
Basically, so if St. Louis were to lose in the first or second round, and you have Columbus, Dallas, Vegas, and Colorado all lose in the first and second round. The Ducks have the 20th overall pick.
Any closing thoughts on the draft here? Because I feel like we're starting to have a little playoff chatter. Any closing thoughts from a Ducks perspective, big picture, anything like that?
I think it's a little bit disappointing from a big picture perspective, the fact that this was such a bad season and they only ended up with a 9th overall pick.
It wasn't bad enough.
Yeah, but it's frustrating because it's you really, in order to make this season kind of feel worth it, you want it to be in that top 5. Or at least the top 6.
Right. I mean, that's the problem with the 9th pick is it's just such a I've now gone all the way back to 1999 while you were talking. And I'm not going to spout out off all the names, but it's really a mixed bag. I mean, I think that drafting has gotten smarter. I think I would say in recent years, and you know, the Ducks do seem to do a good job. You know, they've done a good job with later picks, but it is a little disappointing. And again, you know, you can't really be that disappointed if you were not at all on board with tanking or, you know, strategically not winning games. But again, yeah. I think that this is definitely something that's going to help. Sorry, my windows are banging because of this
wind. It's very, very windy. I felt my whole entire apartment shake.
Yeah, it's extremely windy and it's frustrating. But
Christian J brings up, but they do have two first round picks.
They do.
And I think if that St. Louis pick stays, they might
not. Yeah, they may or they may not. I mean, it really depends. But okay, let me ask you this: if you're the Ducks, do you consider packaging 9 and whatever you have in the 20s? Let's say that they hold on to the St. Louis pick to move up.
I think if you can get yourself into that top five range,
yeah.
I don't think 1 or 2 is going to get moved, but I think
everything after that is kind of on the board.
Because I think from everything I've read, there's a bit of a drop off from Cousins to the rest of the mm-hmm. league. So I'm wondering if Colorado is willing to move that pick.
Yes,
because for
maybe.
A defenseman.
So Fowler because plus 9 and 21 or 20.
Do you think that gets it? Do you think? Because to me,
I would do it if I was Colorado.
Because if I'm Colorado, do I need more forwards? Yes, they do need better depth.
They do.
But they do have Kerfoot. They do have Compher. Mm-hmm. They do have some decent pieces up front outside of McKinnon. Now, none of them are going to be that great, none of them are going to be top end talent mm-hmm. like Cousins potentially could be, but Cousins isn't going to be in the NHL next year.
He's not a game breaker. And that's the thing with Colorado is that I don't think that they're really I think they have enough. I mean, you never really have enough, you know, blue chip prospects, but I think they're trying to be good now. I think that you have Nathan McKinnon, you have Gabriel Landeskog, you have Mikko Rantanen. I think it's time for them to maximize that. And I think that if you look at their blue line, it's kind of rough. I mean, you look at their left side, Girard, Zadorov, and Ian Cole. I mean, I think that if you plug in a Cam Fowler into there, it looks a lot better. And then if you're the Ducks, you clear off some cap space. I think you get off that crapshoot 9th pick. And, you know, I mean, 20th pick, I mean, they got Isaac Lundestrom last year, you know, kind of in that range. And he's a prospect that is probably going to be a good player, but you're not backing up the truck for. And so I think that if I would consider it if I was them.
Bam mentions that Cale Makar should be there next year, but I think that they still, outside of Tyson Barrie, and granted, this is speaking on a team that we don't follow as much as the Ducks, but mm-hmm. just kind of from my outside perspective, outside of Tyson Barrie, they have Eric Johnson. They've got Samuel Girard, but it doesn't seem like they have kind of that solid blue line there. And so I think that that's...
Right.
Yeah.
And Cale Makar is a cautionary tale. I mean, they drafted him 4th overall in 2017, and everyone is extremely excited about him.
Isn't everyone still really high on him?
It's kind of fluctuated a little bit. I mean, it's taken just a little time, a little more time maybe than you'd
happens
like.
Happens with defensemen, though.
Yeah, but when you're drafting 4th overall, you kind of would like for that to be a little quicker. The point being is that, okay, let's say they have Makar. Let's say he's great. Wouldn't you rather have Girard, Makar, Fowler as opposed to Girard, Makar, Sidorov / Cole.
True.
I mean, you can still improve. I mean, it's not one or the other. Now, for the Ducks, I think that it really just comes down to your estimation of Cam Fowler and also what you can get with the fourth pick.
And if you believe the drop-off from 3 to 9 is large.
I do think it is. Again, not having totally spent a lot of time digging into this draft, which I will as we approach it, but it doesn't seem to me like this massive drop-off. Yeah. To me it seems like after, you know, 1 through 4 or 5, it seems like it starts becoming a crapshoot. Now, again, the problem with this is that I don't think that Blackhawks will draft Pekulzin.
Do you think Fowler plus the 20th? And also, I do want to make mention, someone was asking in the Twitch chat how high the San Jose pick can get. If Vegas, Dallas, and Columbus make the conference finals, San Jose's pick would jump to 22. Columbus ain't making the conference final, so most realistically, I could maybe see a Dallas-Vegas conference final if that were, or even
Dallas-Vegas. Is that possible? Oh yeah, I guess it would be.
There's a whole lot of teams that can make the conference final where San Jose's pick would jump up. Whether Toronto, Pittsburgh, Winnipeg, Carolina, St. Louis, Columbus, Dallas, Vegas, Colorado. If any of that combination of teams make the conference final, so that pick can get to 21 if all the teams that make the conference final are from below San Jose.
Right. But
do you think 21 and Fowler gets you up to 3 or 4?
No, hell no. I mean, unless that team loves Cam Fowler, which I guess is not impossible, especially if you look at Colorado. I think Lindholm and that pick gets it done
Lindholm by himself gets it done.
I think if you throw in that other pick, you probably guarantee it. You know, I think the other team might ask for that because then they don't have a first-round pick anymore.
I think you're overvaluing that drop in position.
So you're saying that just Lindholm for the fourth gets it done?
Yeah,
if you're Colorado.
So. Yeah.
Right. I mean, if let's say Colorado plays a little hardball and says, okay, well, we want to do it, but then we don't have a pick this year. Do you just throw in the 20th to get it done? Like, do you think about that too long?
Well, I think the thing is, Christian J puts this in our Twitch chat, and I agree with it, and this is kind of where I'm angling with it, is that Fowler is a sure thing, Cousins isn't.
Fowler is a sure thing, but what's the sure thing?
I mean,
bad defensively,
well, and I think
yes.
Lindholm on those lines is in the same boat.
Yeah.
You know what you got
with
Lindholm.
I think Lindholm for the fourth is a lot more, in my head, is a lot more feasible than, let's say, Fowler for the fourth or Fowler.
Well, I'm not
20th.
Saying Fowler but alone, but it would say Fowler maybe the 20th.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you look at Colorado and you add in a Hampus Lindholm there, that's kind of a game changer for their blue
line. I don't think Lindholm is getting moved, though.
I mean, no, but I just don't think it's worth it. I don't think it's worth it for the fourth pick. As weird as that sounds,
if you can get into the top two, maybe.
Maybe this is all going to sound really silly once one of these guys in the top in the 3 or 4 spot becomes a star.
Yeah,
but I just right now it's too much of a leap. But yeah, if you can get into the 1 and 2, then of course. But at that point, you're giving up a whole lot more than Hampus Lindholm.
Yeah.
But I do think that the Ducks should be thinking that way, at least to some degree, because none of their picks are just, oh my goodness, we have to hang on to this. You know, so if they have a possibility moving up, I mean, it's very rare that teams give up their pick that high, you know, but I think with Colorado, the reason why I would be targeting them is because A, the Ducks do have things that Colorado lacks, and B, Colorado, I don't think they're really building for the future. Or at least they shouldn't be. They're probably looking to be good now. Anyway, my last thoughts on the draft here. I am not going to lie. When they announced it was Rangers, Devils, and Blackhawks for the top three, I was hoping Rangers would go number one.
Oh, I thought you were going to say rigged.
No, it's not rigged. But it's definitely not rigged. But I would rather see Jack Hughes with the Rangers than the Devils, just as an entertainment perspective.
It is kind of funny that they're both. I mean, it's the same thought process.
Jack Hughes and Artemi Panarin on the same line.
It was the thought process of me wanting the Ducks and Kings to get the top two picks. It is going to be fun having both of them in that market.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think the odds are that the Devils take Kako first?
30%. 25%.
25? Okay, so there's a chance.
I think there's a chance. I think there's always a chance, but I think also someone pointed out that Ray Shiro was the agent or the advisor for Jack Hughes' dad when he was in college.
Oh, geez. Yeah, forget
there's a
it
connection
then.
There.
Forget everything I just said. It's a guarantee now. I mean, it's not. I mean, Jack Hughes is, you know, it seems like he's going to be generational. So, I mean,
we do have a.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, we do have a question in the Twitch chat that I think goes with all of this. From STFU Shane said, question for later. What do you put the odds on the Ducks actually drafting the two picks that we have?
I would put them at above 50. So if I'm going to be specific, I'm going to say probably 70%.
I'd say 80.
Yeah, 80. So I think we both agree it's pretty high. I mean, Bomarie is just not really an aggressive GM. And B, I think that, you know, because we just kind of discussed it, there's just not a lot of deals that make sense, you know, unless they're just a player that they just really love. And even then, I mean, teams do that kind of thing. It's like, oh, we just love this player. We're going to move up. And it turns out that guy is not any good or doesn't have that kind of impact. So I don't know. It's going to be a fun draft. Again, I don't have a horse in the race. The Canadians are the 15th pick. By the way, Erik Karlsson was a 15th pick. Just want to put that out there.
Yeah.
but it was a fun lottery. I kind of like the teams that, you know, as I know a lot of people are going to hate this, but I kind of like the teams that got 1, 2, 3. You know, if it had been like Edmonton, Buffalo, you know, just these teams that we've already seen in the past get it. Even like, I just don't care to see Jack Hughes on the Kings, you know, or
yeah.
Philly.
I did not want to. I mean, you were getting terrified today that he was going to end up on the Oilers.
Yes, because I was running the draft simulation. I kept getting Edmonton in the lottery, and I guess my fears were kind of warranted because the team that ended up the lottery was just one spot down from them, the Rangers.
True.
I mean, if Edmonton had gotten in there, I mean, it's like, do they just trade it away out of just sheer like
did you
dishonorable?
Did you say that New Jersey hasn't won the lottery? Sorry, I'm backtracking. I'm from the Twitch chat.
Has not?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, New Jersey has gotten it in the past.
They've gotten it three times in the past couple years.
Right, but we don't associate that with them because, you know, they haven't gotten... I mean, the years where they've gotten it, it hasn't been a Connor McDavid. It hasn't been
Nico Hischier and Adam Larson.
Yeah, and I mean...
Adam Larson was because way back when, if you won the draft or won the lottery... The most spots you could move up was 4, so I think they moved from 9 to 5.
Yeah, exactly. And so Nico Hischier's a good player, but you know, I don't think that anyone's going to look at that and say, "Yeah, you know, oh my goodness, New Jersey got it again." And even the year where you know they ended up with the 4th pick for Adam Larson, the top pick that year was Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, which is why you know this whole thing about tanking. And you know, positioning yourself for the draft, so much of it depends on who's just what type of draft it is, and so that's why this was the kind of year to be epically bad. I need to stop saying epically bad. This was the year to be just crap because you can get a generational guy like Hughes or Kako.
Yeah. All right. So a couple questions that I want to hit on. Then we got one other thing that we want to briefly talk about. But Christian J asks if Ducks get a center at 9th. Do you think they'll send Henrique to another team for their first in the 20s?
Ooh, I like how you're thinking, my boy.
Do the Ducks getting a center at 9, especially if the Ducks believe that player can immediately come onto the team, which doesn't sound likely, but still worth throwing out
there. Well, he's probably a year or two at most.
Yes.
It depends who they draft. And again, like I'm prefacing everything by saying that I have not studied the draft that hardcore yet. But, yeah, why not? I mean, I would already trade Henrique without any of those considerions.
Wait. I misunderstood that. Their first in 20s. Not in their first in the 20s, but their first in 2020. So looking at New York Islanders.
No, if I were the Ducks, I'm not trading my pick for next year because
No. Trading Henrique.
Oh, so trading. So, okay, so well, we've changed this a couple times. So trading Henrique
for the first round pick in 2020.
From who?
From the Islanders.
Okay. Wait, why the Islanders?
Oh, because they're going to be bad next year. Oh, well, never mind. Never mind. I misunderstood. my original interpretation was correct. Christian Jay was saying trading Henrique for a pick in the 20s.
So trading Henrique for a pick in the 20s this year.
If the Ducks take a center with 9.
Yes, I would do it. But I would probably want a little more than just that pick. I would probably want, you know, a prospect along with that. But I think that, yeah, if you draft a center at 9, who's probably going to be a decent center. Again, I already just think it makes sense cap-wise to move on from Henrique. And I just don't think that where they're heading, I just don't see him as a fit. And so, yeah, I would be totally open to that. Now, if you look at the teams down in the 20s, I mean, we don't know the order yet, but how many of these playoff teams are going to be willing to move a pick to get a second, third line center? Mm-hmm. I mean, what's the market for that? That would be my question.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would be open to it, but I think it's kind of a difficult trade to swing because if you look at the teams that are in the playoffs, you know, they're not, let's just say that most of them are not dying for center depth. You know, a team that I could actually see wanting Adam Henrique would be Vegas because I think he would make their lineup a little more solid.
Maybe.
But
third line center.
Pacific Division, in division trade.
Yeah. All right. So. Here's the final thing. So we put together, and it's on our Patreon now, a full playoff preview breaking down every single series, ended up being like an hour and a half episode.
It was a fun podcast.
It was really, really fun going through all of it. But kind of as a brief kind of teaser for that, for you to go check it out, give me what your favorite series is for this first round. What are you most excited? What will be the most exciting first round series?
Ooh, you're asking the tough questions. First, the Henrique scenario, now this. I would say the one I'm most excited to watch from the perspective of, oh my God, I have no clue what's going to happen here. There's a couple, but I think I'm going San Jose-Vegas. I mean, I think that both of those teams, I don't know, maybe I'm overrating Vegas, but I see them as evenly matched. They both kind of have Achilles heels. I predicted that series going 7 in the Patreon pod, and I'm still sticking to that. I think that's going to be a fun one. Now, a couple of others where I'm excited to see.
Wait,
again.
Let me say mine. Now. God.
Go ahead.
I'm going to go with Toronto Boston.
Yeah. I feel like Toronto Boston is kind of the East version of San Jose Vegas.
Yeah, I think so. It's two really good teams. Although I think the goaltenders in Boston, Toronto are a little bit better, but they've both faltered of late, so who knows?
Yaroslav Halak is better than Martin Jones.
I forgot what podcast I was listening to because I've listened to a bunch today with the PDO cast and Puck Soup and all of them putting out their playoff preview, but someone made the bold prediction that by the end of the series, it's going to be, or basically the Bruins are going to win game 7 of the series with Yaroslav Halak in goals.
You know, I feel like I've underrated Toronto a little bit. Is that weird?
I do, too, a little bit. After,
I feel like I've kind of written them off against Boston.
Oh, I haven't written them off
at all.
Well,
not written them off, but just, like, I feel like very, maybe too confident that Boston will win that series. So, I don't know.
I'm not confident at all that Boston's winning that series.
Well, yeah, like,
I've said Boston, but I'm not confident about that thing at all.
So the series that I am, so outside of Vegas, San Jose, this is kind of maybe a boring pick for some, but the series I'm very curious to see play out is Washington, Carolina.
God damn it. How did I not say that?
Well, I mean, cause it's not a sexy pick, you know?
I'm on the Carolina bandwagon. So I know
you
series.
Are, but it's such an interesting kind of clash between a team that is just masterful in generating shot quality and a team that's masterful in generating shot quantity. You know, the Washington Capitals vaunted for their high shooting percentage and their ability to get good looks. And Carolina is just kind of a buzzsaw. And it's going to be interesting to see those two play out. I picked Washington to win that series, but it almost feels wrong for some reason. And you're going to tell me it is wrong, but
yeah, it is. Because Carolina is going to win the series.
So let me ask you this. If Carolina, because we made our first round predictions, but I made my bracket today and I was thinking about this. If Carolina wins round one, are they going to the Eastern Conference final?
Yes.
Man, I mean, that's, I think, that's,
I think
the
we
thing.
Need to, I think we need to keep our Patreon pod being a preview of each round. I think that's what we'll continue to do for Patreons for the playoffs.
Yeah. So let's end on this note. Let's do our way too early, I guess it's not too early, Final Four and then Cup winner. Fair enough. We got to give the non-Patreon listeners a little something.
Fine. Okay. Fine. I've got St. Louis. I've got San Jose. I've got Tampa. I've got Carolina.
Okay. So I have the same as you in the West. I have San Jose and St. Louis. And then in the East, Tampa Bay and Washington.
And then who's your cup winner?
Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I've got Tampa winning.
I kind of hate that I'm picking the same as everyone else, but I can't.
They're just so good.
I can't think of a good reason why it wouldn't be them. Yeah. I guess the one argument you can make is that their round two series is not going to be a cakewalk. I mean, Boston or Toronto, it's going to be difficult. But we'll see. Okay, last little thing. Give me your dark horse to win it all.
Dark horse to win it all.
To win it all. I'm not talking, you know, win a round. I'm not talking this or that. Hoist the cup. Who's your dark horse?
Dark horse to win it all. I mean, is Carolina considered a dark horse?
I would say that's a dark horse, yeah.
All right, let's go with Carolina.
That's a pretty dark horse pick. My dark horse to win it all, St. Louis.
Columbus Blue Jackets.
St. Louis Blues. Best team since the turn of the calendar.
I don't feel like the Blues are a dark horse at this point, though. I think that's the issue.
Because everyone's picking them over Winnipeg?
Well, it's also because they've gone on this historic run. And I was talking to someone, Justin, Lockdown Late Night, and he was saying people kind of have forgotten that the Blues were last in the NHL at the All-Star game. And I'm like, yes, they were.
But they've been so
good.
But
they almost won the Central.
Okay, then I'll give you another dark horse to win it all. I'm going dark horse Washington repeat. They're doing that thing again.
The defending cup champion does not get to be considered a dark horse.
Well, you just told me that St. Louis is in a dark horse because everyone's
picking them. If Carolina is a dark horse, the team they're playing can't be a dark horse.
I mean, but the thing is, in hockey, I feel like people don't view the defending champs as the team that should win. It's not like basketball where everyone's picking everyone just assumes the Warriors are going to win this year.
The defending champ is never a dark horse.
Oh, my God. But who's picking Washington to win it? Show me who these people are.
But
no one's even picking them to win in round one.
People are predicting them, though, to make the conference final. There are plenty of them out there. So,
oh, my God. Who the hell is a dark horse? Is no one a dark horse? Is Winnipeg a dark horse at this point?
I mean, Columbus is a dark horse.
Well, Columbus is just a underdog. I wouldn't call that a dark horse.
Toronto is a dark horse.
Yeah, I would say that's the one. That's what I should have said.
I think if a team is not projected by a lot of people to make the conference final, then they're a dark horse.
Yeah, I think Toronto, again, I feel I'm getting this uncomfortable feeling that I'm overlooking Toronto. Because, you know,
can I ask you this? Sure. As a Montreal Canadiens fan, how pissed are you going to be when Toronto is the team to break the curse for Canada?
Honestly, I don't hate the Leafs as much as I hate the Bruins. So,
really?
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
Well, because the Habs have had way more playoff series against the Bruins.
Yeah, I mean, that's the natural rival. But
yeah.
I just know that the Habs and Leafs don't like each other also.
I mean, I would be – I guess the team I would want to see break the curse, I don't know.
Winnipeg? Calgary?
Yeah.
Vancouver?
Probably one of the Western teams if it were Ottawa or Toronto, I just couldn't stand it. But here's the compelling argument for Toronto being a sleeper is that last year, you know, you could against Boston, and this is something that they talked about on the PDO cast, is that you could put Bergeron on Matthews and shut him down. But now they have that extra line with Tavares that just didn't exist last year. And I'm wondering if that's what makes the difference here.
Trump card. So for more detailed analysis on all these series, go check out the Patreon pod that we did. If you're not a patron yet, consider subscribing at $5 a month. You get that episode and you get all the ones that we did in the past, including trade deadline breakdown. We've done expansion draft.
It's going to be worth following.
Breakdown. Yeah, and there's a whole lot there. I believe that there are now 14 episodes there. Mm-hmm. And so you get all the backlog. By doing that, you also get access to the Discord chat where, like the comment I mentioned from Justin at Lockdown Late Night, he mentioned that in our Discord chat. And so there's conversations that happen in there that you get access to with being a patron.
Absolutely. So that's going to do it for us tonight, guys. Thanks a lot for tuning in. We went a lot longer than we expected, but that's the nature of us.
It's typical.
Thanks a lot for listening in. Make sure to check us out on the Apple Podcast app. Leave a rating and a review. We're also on Stitcher and SoundCloud. Check us out on YouTube as well. Just search Anaheim Calling. Make sure to subscribe there. We're also on social media. Jake is on Twitter at ReindeerGames91. I'm on Twitter at Felix_Sicard. That is going to do it for us tonight, guys. Thanks a lot for listening. Again, that's patreon.com/ACPod for all the playoff coverage you need. And we will talk to you at the next bit of Ducks news. Talk then.
Bye.